of 56 and lows of 42. I'm Lisa Marie with your Beaver County weather.
On this Wednesday, May 13th of 2026, at 3 minutes after 9, we've got a temperature of 57 degrees with partly cloudy skies currently in Beaver County. And that's a look at the news for now. I'm Noah Haswell on 99.3 FM, AM 1230 WBVP, 95.7 FM, and 1460 AM WNBA. Also streaming live around the world at BeaverCountyRadio.com.
Baseball music there, because I know the gentleman we have on the line right now is a big baseball fan. Filmmaker Robert Cochran joining us now. Robert, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I love the John Fogerty lead-in. Thank you.
You're coming. Your movie's going to be screening at the Lindsay Theater, and it's got a serious cause, talking about Parkinson's. But one of the components of that is you and your father took a pretty big road trip and went to see as many Major League Baseball games as you could. So talk about that experience.
You bet. That's flashing back to 2004. Dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2001. And, you know, like many people, we didn't know what that meant. So we decided to explore a little bit. And in 2004, after rewatching Field of Dreams and crying my eyes out, I said, hey, Dad, we got to do something, make our dream come true. We drove 2 months, 20,000 miles to all 30 major league ballparks over the course of that summer of 2004. And just had the time of our lives. And by the way, PNC was such a hidden gem. We were blown away by what we saw there.
I was definitely going to ask about that. Yeah. What are your thoughts about Pittsburgh and just the way the view of that sitting in the stands?
I mean, when we didn't know what to expect. You know, of course, you know, you're on a whirlwind trip. You're just taking it as it comes during that. But we go into Pittsburgh, and immediately, I mean, remember what I said about it in the dock is how I felt. It's just a park that fits the city. The view is incredible. We met these incredible fans. It was a father, son sitting next to us, and they were so fun and funny, and also extremely passionate about the game and heartfelt. Not only did they listen to us, they loved our story that night. They donated to our cause because we were very much, you know, hook or crook everywhere we went. They gave us money for a hotel. We had people do that all over the place, right? They would invite us into their homes or, you know, give us money to get to the next park. It was really cool.
Oh, wow. We're talking to filmmaker Dr. Robert Cochran, and the movie itself is called Boys of Summer Shortstop, and it'll be screened this Sunday, 1 p.m. at the Lindsay in Sewickley. You'll be doing a little bit of a Q&A as well, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'll be part of that. I live out on the West Coast, so this will be virtually on my part. But I'm working with the Parkinson Foundation of Western Pennsylvania. Recently did a keynote with them, and they're a fantastic organization serving the Western Pennsylvania area. They're helping to put this on. And that screening on Sunday, just to mention, it's the third film in the series. There are four films total, and the original 30 Ballparks was done back in 2004. There was a follow-up in 2014. The one we're screening Sunday was actually released in 2020, but it leads up to the brand-new film, which premieres in about 2 weeks at the World Parkinson's Congress. So, yeah.
Well, I understand you get the MVP treatment at Dodger Stadium. You go to Petco Park, the Oakland Coliseum. Put words to what your dad's experience was like that, just a chance to spend that quality time with you. And I guess your own son, Giuseppe, was along as well. What did that mean to him, you think?
It means the world. The three-generational aspect is a big part of the appeal of the film, what people consistently say about it. My son in the film, I believe, was about 8 years old. And, my dad getting to spend that kind of time with him, that was the reason for so much of what we did. And it's what people respond to in the film, right? I mean, we certainly have the Parkinson's elements. We talk about that. But there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of fun at Petco Park down in San Diego. There's a tremendous amount of food. The executive chef gave us the MVP treatment. We got a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of kind of dreamlike baseball elements that happened throughout, stuff that I know fellow fans are going to look at. Not the least of them, Dave Parker, who unfortunately died last year, but he met us in Cincinnati where he was living at the time, also a person with Parkinson's, and played a game of catch with my dad. So, there's just so many dreamlike elements that you just can't believe are the positives when you decide to reach out and share your story, and we've been fortunate enough to do that.
I'm thinking this film has probably inspired a lot of road trips. People have seen these films and said, come on, Dad, come on, Mom, we got to hit the road and do something like that.
You know what's cool? I believe you're right, and I actually got evidence to that just earlier this week. Someone reached out. I'll be interviewing them on my webcast, a father with a son who said, I just wanted to let you know specifically, my son and I are going to hit the road to go on, I think, a 5 or 6, an abbreviated trip here at the end of this month, and they're having a bunch of people in the Parkinson's community. So the idea to do exactly what you're saying and to, as we put in our terms, yes and, to build on the opportunity is spectacular, and it's humbling, and yeah, I love to hear that people take it for themselves. Don't just look at us and say, good for you, but it's like, no, we could do this too.
Yeah.
And absolutely, that's what we want to see happen.
Along with being a filmmaker, you're also the founder and CEO of a nonprofit that is dedicated to Parkinson's and inspiring people and informing people. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's called Yes and X, and the website is yesandx.org. If there are any fans of improvisation out there, maybe you've seen the show Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what we do, and we do it in a non-performative manner, so people don't have to worry about getting up on stage or anything. This is actually a play-based form of improvisation, and it was part of my PhD study looking at the effects of improvisation and storytelling on the psychosocial emotional side of Parkinson's, because that's the part of Parkinson's people don't know, right? The emotional side, the impact beyond, they think, is it just tremors? Is it not that bad? No, in fact, what's going on inside for both the people with Parkinson's, their care partners and family, is more affecting than the physical aspects of Parkinson's. So we address that specifically. We have online programs, so your folks there in Pennsylvania are welcome to join us again at yesandx.org. You want to check it out, play some games, learn about storytelling. It's very impactful stuff.
I'll make sure I have that in the – we're doing a story as well on our website, so people will have that web address and everything, so they'll be able to look up more information. Now, your father's experience, from the time he was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2001, what was sort of the time frame after that?
So 2001, Dad's diagnosed, and here was the rough thing. He was diagnosed 2 weeks after my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm.
So she has the acute issue, and he has, you know, a long-term chronic issue that we don't know much about. Thankfully, mom's a survivor, still with us, but it was pretty touch and go for a while. Once she was, you know, in the clear, as it were, that was, you know, early 2004, and Dad had actually made a promise to me years prior, back in the early 1990s. I was going to school to be a sports broadcaster, and that's when he initially pitched this baseball road trip idea. And we went to a couple in the first 1990-91 years, but life got busy. So with the new information of his Parkinson's, and as I mentioned, rewatching Field of Dreams, we said, we got to go. Now, people early on in the Parkinson's diagnosis, most people look at them and might say there's not anything going on because they don't see the physical symptoms, you know, unless you really know what you're looking for. And you can fool yourself into thinking it's not that bad. The unfortunate truth is that over time, Parkinson's does progress, and it's different for every person how it progresses, and it is affected by how you live too. So, you know, we found that out after about 10 years. You know, we were living in the world of there'll be a cure within 10. It didn't come. But after those 10 years expired and we could see more of the symptoms, we said, we got to get busy with figuring out what quality of life means. And that's when Dad got, you know, exercising, got involved in social programs like the Parkinson Foundation of Western Pennsylvania, those types of groups that make an incredible difference in people's lives. Because isolation is really the killer when it comes to Parkinson's. And although I'll honestly say he's not in the greatest place at this point, 25 years into his diagnosis, it's rough. We're very grateful for the time that we took to do the things we've done over this time. And you know what? He still shows up every day doing the best he can. I'm very proud of him.
I understand one of the components of the film is him coming to learn how to accept support, to realize he needs help.
Yeah, you know, one of the things in Parkinson's, it's of course support from other people, but sometimes it's as simple as, or I should say that from the outside, and this is where, you know, the ignorance comes in. You know, hey, Dad, I need you to use your cane, or hey, Dad, that walker is important. Well, we really addressed that. And that's, I would say, the second most really responded to element of the film behind the multi-generational aspect is there's a through line of dad not using his walker, talking about the stigma, talking about it being, you know, more of a challenge than an opportunity, and learning ultimately to accept it. And, you know, people after the film in the Q&A constantly say, how do you do that? And, you know, I tell them, I say, what you saw it in the scope of a 53-minute film, but it was a good 2 years of talking to him. And the important thing to me was to give him the space and dignity to go on that journey of his own, and try to keep him as safe as I could and remind him of why it was important. But if he didn't accept it, he was never actually going to use it. He might use it to appease me, but he wouldn't accept it. And he ultimately did, and I'm very proud of him. And you know, it extended his quality of life for doing things like what we do in the film. I mean, one of the reasons we could go to the ballparks was he accepted being in a wheelchair. He didn't like the idea of it, but once he got there, he was like, actually, this is a good thing, and it gave us access, and it let him relax more. So, you know, those are all parts of the challenge, and understandably so.
Again, the film is called Boys of Summer, Shortstop. It's 53 minutes. We'll be screening at the Lindsay Theater this Sunday, 1 p.m. I'm sure tickets selling well, but you still got time to score some. And Robert, you've screened this film 30 times this year and in various places. What are some of the most prominent takeaways you hear from audience members themselves?
Well, the things I love to hear most are that people see, feel, and connect to the family aspect, right? That regardless of Parkinson's, and that's the thing, you don't have to know about or experience Parkinson's in your life to get the human element of connection, of family, of time spent together. So I love, first and foremost, that those things come together. Yes, my son Giuseppe gets probably the most comments, and hopefully those you'll see the film. He's very funny and engaging, and you know, he's all of 8 years old, pretty magical age, and runs through that pretty well. My daughter has a few great moments too. So that's most important. And then secondly, you mentioned the inspiration that people draw. That means the world too, because this is not meant as a, hey, look at them, good job, Cochran's. It is, in fact, part of our documentary, I should say our nonprofit, that we want people to engage in their own stories, because here's the thing about Parkinson's. It's the fastest growing neurological disease in the world. Not a lot of people know that, and we need to get that message out there, because everybody's at risk for it, because nobody does anything to get it. It's in the air, it's in the water, it's, you know, in the food. And we need people to understand that so that we can, you know, get these chemicals out of society and get the treatments we need to at least get an intervention on the progression. And I think storytelling is a way to do that. The more people telling their stories about what it's like to truly live with Parkinson's, the more we can do what we've done with, say, HIV/AIDS or polio, or Mothers Against Drunk Driving, you know, social uprising to say, we need a change and we can do something about it, so let's do it.
Great. And the screening, it's presented in partnership with the Parkinson Foundation of Western Pennsylvania, a nonprofit. They work with support and education for those living with Parkinson's. And they've done some collaborations before. The Lindsay Theater and the as it's called, the PFWPA, did the Michael J. Fox movie, still a Michael J. Fox movie about him being diagnosed with Parkinson's in 1991, so that's another example.
Still, I don't know, for those who haven't seen it, highly recommend it. It is a documentary of Michael J. Fox's life, outstanding. And then also, for those who are in the world and want more, I don't know if you've seen Shrinking on Apple TV, but Harrison Ford and Michael J. Fox do an incredible job with putting forth more information and have this funny rally cry that I can't say on air, but it helps.
Yeah, please don't. All right, Robert, we really appreciate you doing this. It's great that this is going to be screened at the Lindsay Theater Sunday. You'll be doing will the Q&A be before the film or after?
I'm 99% sure it'll be after.
Okay.
And anybody who wants to see anything about the film, I mentioned, of course, Yes and X. It's the nonprofit that serves or is the fiduciary sponsor of Boys of Summer. But you can also go to the Boys of Summer website, and that's bosmovie.com. B as in boy, O of S summer, bosmovie.com. And yeah, there are ways for people to see the first two films you can download and watch on your own. So I hope people will do that too.
I'll make sure I have all that information in our story. We'll put that up online a little bit after lunchtime today. Well, thanks for your time, Robert. Next time you're in town, you got to buy a Paul Skeens jersey.
Oh, you know, I went to the ball game to see Paul that night, and I got a traffic cone sitting right next to me right now. I can't tell you enough about how much I love the city of Pittsburgh, and I'm cheering for the Pirates and A's. The A's are my team. Pirates and A's in the World Series. That would just be the best thing ever, and to stick it to, you know, these crappy owners and give the fans something to cheer for.
I'm totally on your side. Great. Well, good luck with your screening Sunday, and we appreciate your time.
Take care, man.
You as well. That was filmmaker Robert Cochran. Yeah, Lindsay Theater in Swickley, great community theater. You know, we have Josh, the community director there, here a lot, telling us about the cool things they're doing. Unique films you can only see there, like this one, Boys of Summer Shortstop. So check it out.